prayer. What is scientific prayer? True prayer is not an instrument for altering or moving the heart of God. Our book shows that when Jesus prayed, he withdrew from the material senses to refresh his heart with brighter, more spiritual views. Christian Science shows us that there is no self apart from God to pray. We are not mortals praying to a vast God outside, worshiping a God, falling down, saying certain words that we think will appease this man-formulated God. Paul rebuked this kind of prayer. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. True prayer is the practice of God's presence, permitting the personal sense of self to fade into its native nothingness in the realization of the God presence, the God power. In this divine presence, no finiteness can possibly remain. In true prayer, Jesus held uncomplaining guard over a world. He never complained about what the neighbors did. He never complained about what anyone did. He maintained his oneness with his Father. This is true prayer. Mrs. Eddy has revolutionized prayer. She asked, "What are the motives for prayer? Are we benefited by praying?" She says, "Prayer cannot change the science of being, but it tends to bring us into harmony with it. So we do not pray to change a sick mortal into a well one, or a discontented person into a contented person. True prayer is not to change anything. Your leader says that it tends to bring us into harmony with the science of being. So true prayer is to bring us into this harmony of our own being. Now let us ask the question, what is the science of being? Our book states that there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in the belief of being a person. Then comes that all-embracing statement, that all, without a single exception, is infinite mind, infinitely manifesting itself as all. There is no possibility within this infinity of being for there to be affinity calling itself you, and that this you must pray to a great ego outside to remind him what we need or what we want or we are in trouble. And if he does not do something quickly, we shall cease to exist as a you. Well, let us face it, the sooner we get rid of the you, the better off we will be. Remember, in class teaching, the you was the first iniquitous manifestation of sin. Sin is simply the evil suggestion that there is a you. There is something present besides God. How can you say that God is all presence, all power, and still have a personal sense, you? Prayer is not to change the human you. True prayer is to leave the human mind completely, not to try to change it. The human mind is the problem, so why stay within the problem? Acknowledge that the mind that is God is present, and that this mind knows no problems. Your leader makes a tremendously sweeping statement. The mere habit of pleading with the divine mind, as one pleads with a human being, humanly circumscribed, is an error which impedes spiritual growth. The impediment is that you have been praying incorrectly. Fruitful prayer will be denied as long as we pray in such a manner. God is divine principle. God is love. Can we ask God to be more? God is intelligent. Can we tell this intelligent mind anything? Do we expect that prayer will change the perfection when the perfection that is God is the perfection of mind in expression? Divine mind concedes our perfection. Too many students stand before the blackboard and pray the divine principle to operate, and yet the problem remains on the blackboard. The wise student in mathematics finds out more concerning the principle, works with the principle, and avoids the mistake. So it is in Christian Science. Prayer is recognition that principle's idea, man, is the functioning presence of the unerring principle itself. The fact that principle is present and is operating prevents the problem from arising. What if there should be an unsolved problem of long standing, which refuses to budge under the most searching prayer, the most intelligent declarations? Could it not be that we are praying to solve the problem rather than seeing the impossibility of the problem? I have seen the most stubborn cases, called incurable, which had been given treatment for years, yield when you get the patient to pray from the standpoint that the revelation of God, as revealed in Christian Science, makes the problem impossible. I have seen the most earnest, conscientious student work day after day and not solve their problem, because they insist they must solve it. What is wrong? They say, why am I not getting results as I used to? When we first approach Christian Science, dim perception seems to work. When we become students of this science, we can no longer use it. Christian Science shows that the nature of God is the nature of man, and makes problems impossible. This is the only way scientific healing can be brought about in Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy tells us in the textbook, the physical healing in Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness. We have those who come to us and say, oh, but I do have a problem. It is my husband. He simply does not understand me. It's amazing. He is a member of the church. He works on committees, but he simply does not understand me. What is wrong? Is it not that the student is permitting the aggressive mental suggestion that there is a person living with a person? But it is mind that is God that is present, and the only will there is God's will. So let that will be done. Who are we to tell another what to do? How to read the lesson? They are not studying enough. Self-righteous mortals. Perhaps our prayer is unanswered because we are thinking we are divine idea. We know the truth. We are so certain we know it, yet everything in our home remains unchanged. Have you asked yourself the question, who sees the problem? Mind's expression, man, is not that which sees the problem and struggles so hard to solve it. Is there a human mind to even be aware of the problem? To have such a mind would be to have a mind that is enmity to God. For a practitioner to take such a case and believe that somebody has a problem, but that he will help them solve it, is not prayer in Christian Science. If one sees others as disobedient persons, sick persons, but that we must pray to make these personalities good ones, then we are praying in vain, making vain repetitions, even as the heathen do. Prayer in Christian Science is not to change anything, not to alter, not to heal. True prayer in Christian Science is acknowledgement of your own oneness with God. You heal yourself in Christian Science. You never heal a patient. Your knowing is that there is no patient, for God is all. Being is one. Being is indivisible. Never let your prayer fall into vain repetition. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never forget the immediacy of Christian Science prayer. The immediacy, the nowness of Christian Science, does not heal man of sin. Christian Science shows the impossibility of sin attaching itself to the man of God's creation. How could darkness attach itself to light? Man is the light of the world in its eternal noon, undimmed by a declining sun. The purity of being, the immaculate Father, Mother, God in manifestation. Mrs. Eddy writes, in proportion as the spotless selfhood of God is understood, human nature will be renovated, and man will receive a higher selfhood derived from God. Always keep your prayer on the level of divine science. Never permit it to fall to the level of a human prayer to some God outside. There is no such God. Roman Catholics pray to the Mother of God. God never has a mother. God is Mother. Your prayer will be just as vain if you pray to a God outside. God is now at once the center and circumference of your being. Mrs. Eddy asks this question: Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? Watch what she answers. This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. What is the El Dorado? It means piled with gold and every good thing. It is to have no concept of yourself as a person acting or reacting to what another says or does. It is most important to see that we are not persons acting and reacting to what is called another. We have surrendered the belief of merely material affection. She says, surrender it. We have no identity as person. Mind identifies itself. Let us be willing to surrender anything that would deny the oneness and allness of God. Mrs. Eddy says, prayer cannot change the unalterable truth. Why? Because truth is true. Truth, then, is something we live. We never use truth. We live it. We love it. Our prayer must be as scientific as science itself.